We're on page Chaf Amid Beit, or page 40. We are Kamashir 2, 4, 6 lines from the top of the page, the last word on the line. 20B1. In the Mishnah, there was a din that if somebody makes a bald spot, in the olden times when somebody died, out of the sign of mourning, they would rip out hair from their heads, and they would make a bald spot. So the Mishnah said that if you make a bald spot in your head because somebody passed away, you get lashes, you get malchus, you get whipped. So now the Gemara says, how much hair is considered ripping out that is considered making a bald spot? What's the size of the bald spot? So it says, v'kama shir korcha. What is the amount of pulling out hair that is considered a bald spot? So Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, k'dishayira meireishi, that you have to tear out enough hair that your scalp becomes visible. I mean, you just tear out two hairs.
It's not bald.
It's not bald. Now, it's forbidden to tear out any amount. But when do you get whipped? When you get lashes, if you make a bald spot, then you can see a bald spot. That's what Rav Huna says. Rav Yechanan Amar Mishum Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Rav Yechanan says in the name of Rav Elazar, the son of Rav Shimon, Kegris. It has to be the size of a bean. A bean. It's the size of a bean, so then it's considered making a bald spot. So the Gemara says that this argument, if it's noticeable here or the size of a bean, is an argument between Tanoim. Because it says in the Braisa, meaning from earlier generations, because it says, Kama Shir Korcha, what's the size of a bald spot? So one opinion says, Kigris, the size of a bean. And the second, Achedemem, other people say, Kereshiyira Mireshi, that you can see actually your scalp. Now this is, again, only when you rip out hair, because somebody died. If somebody is nervous and they like ripping out hair, there's not this din. This din is only, the reason for this is, as the Mishnah explained, this was the Goyish way of doing things. In the times of the Torah, the Goyish nations that the Jews were moving into, their custom was an idolatry, an idol worshipping, that if somebody died, they would rip out hair. So therefore, if somebody ripped out hair, it's because they followed the ways of the goyim. But if somebody did it because he didn't like his hair, it's a different story. Then you don't get whipped. So now the Gemara is going to say there's another opinion. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, pliga b'tlosa tanoi. There's a disagreement, three-way argument, not two. If it's a bean or a bald spot, it's actually three opinions. What's the three opinions? Chad amar kegris. One opinion says the size of a bean. V'chad amar k'deshiyira mireishin. Second opinion says that you can see a bald spot. V'chad amar mishtei sidus. And the third opinion says two hairs. Once you rip out two hairs, it's already enough. But ika demapik shtei sidus. There's another version that says take out the two hair opinion and put in kadash a lentil. So then there's three opinions. Bald spot, bean, or lentil. And the sign of it is beheres kigris. These are the types of leprosy. If a beheres is the size of a bean, and michya, and the healthy spot, the size of a lentil. So you see that in the same phrase, they have lentil and bean. So this is the way they used to remember things, that the three opinions would be one lentil, one bean, and the third one actually literally creating a bald spot in the head. Then the Gemara says, this is a din in Shabbos, not so much a din in ripping out hair, but the Gemara is going to connect the two. Now, on Shabbos, one of the forbidden things is shearing wool. You're not allowed to cut wool off an animal. It's one of the biblical prohibitions in Shabbos. So, we also have wool. This is wool. No, so if somebody with a scissors cuts their hair on Shabbos, is biblically forbidden. Because you're using a utensil which is made to cut hair, and when you cut your hair, you're actually shearing wool, so to speak. So that would be biblically transgressing Shabbos. If you do it with your hand, pull out hair with your hand, it's only rabbinically forbidden.
What about if you naturally lose the hair? You're still going to get the blip.
Then you get a shaitel. Get a wig.
No, I mean, you know.
No, you don't get whipped if it falls out.
Oh, okay.
If you accidentally or unintentionally happens, then...
So there's a story about the Arizal. That Arizal once on Shabbos touched his beard, and he was afraid that if he take away his hand, some hair might fall out. So he kept his hand there until Shabbos was over. But that's the Arizal. But he touched his beard, and he afraid, you know, because sometimes you touch your beard, you know, the hair comes out. He didn't want it on Shabbos, so he just left the hand there until Shabbos was over.
Otherwise, during the weekdays, if it happens?
No, during the week, it's...
Aren't you glad you didn't live in those days?
Yeah. Then he wouldn't drive a car. Then the Gemara says, Tana, so it says like this. It says in the Braise concerning the laws of Shabbos, Haneitum Malay Plia Pia Zug. Now, they used to cut it with the scissors, right? So he says, if you cut, how many hairs to be chayiv? So this opinion says, if you cut the scissors tip full, that means whatever, as much hair is held in the tip of the scissors, that is considered a proper amount, that's called desecrating Shabbos. Chayiv is chayiv. So Gemara says, V'kami Malay Pli Azug, what is considered a scissors tipful? How much is it? So Amar Rav Yehuda says, shtayim, two hairs. That's it. If you cut two hairs on Shabbos, it's called desecrating Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how could you say by Shabbos it means two hairs when the Braise continues and says, L'karcha shtayim, for ripping out hairs for over the dead, it says two hairs, which means for Shabbos, it's not. Meaning as follows. The Braise says it then as follows. For Shabbos, if you cut a scissors tip full, you're chayiv. You're obligated. Then it says, for a dead body, you rip out two hairs, you're also obligated. Now, the fact that by a dead body, the Mishnah says two hairs, and by the first case of Shabbos, it says a scissors tip, that shows a scissors tip is not two hairs. Because if it's the same thing, you say two hairs and two hairs. You don't say scissors tip and two hairs. So the Gemara answers what it means is, you're right, it's really two hairs. What it means is, v'chein l'karcha. What the Braise says is as follows. For Shabbos, if you cut with a scissors two hairs, a scissors full, which is two hairs, you're obligated. And the same thing is by a bald spot. If you rip out two hairs, you're also obligated.
What do you mean obligated? To what?
39 lashes.
Oh, you're obligated to get whipped. Oh, yeah. I see. Who would mess with a dead body and cut hair off a dead body?
No, not from a dead body.
From your face.
No.
From your face.
First of all, I'll tell you cases what they do. But the case is, if a relative died, they used to rip out their own hair.
That's a sign of mourning.
That's with the Goyisha style. Many places do that today also. The Muslims do that. That's what the Torah says. You're not allowed to do it. By the way, there's a big shaila in halacha, by the way. When they want to make a shaitel, a wig, out of natural hair, so people from India, those type of countries, have very good hair, very strong hair. And they, many places, when they die, they cut off the hair, and then they use it as a wig. Which is a big question in halacha, because you can't benefit from a dead body. A dead body, you're not allowed to benefit from. So if you cut the hair from a dead body, you're not allowed to benefit from the hair. Then there's the interesting shaila today, while we're on this topic, with the wigs. The question is, a lot of those Indian women are Buddhist. And sometimes they cut the hair, they have idol worshipping in mind. So then the question is, can you use the hair? Because it might be idol worshipping here. So there's a whole discussion. The bottom line is that you could, Rabbi, but not from a dead body.
Rabbi,
what?
I want to interject here. Many, many people who die today will parts of their body to shine.
I know, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the hair.
Oh.
What? A dead body doesn't have a heart that functions. Okay, let's get into medical ethics now. It's a very big halacha question.
Please.
Okay. That the Gemara says, Tanya Namihochi, so we learned in the Braise. It says, if somebody takes a tipful of hair on Shabbos, Chayiv, you're obligated to pay. The Kamim Malay Piazug, how much is considered a scissors tipful? Shtayim, two hairs. So therefore we see that what's considered cutting hair on Shabbos, two hairs. For you guys with the English, we're on 20b2. Rabbi Eliezer says, achas. Even one hair is enough. You don't have to cut two to make you obligated to get whipped. Even one hair, if you cut it, is enough. But this is a very interesting halacha. But even though the rabbis say you need two hairs to be obligated, and Rabbi Eliezer says one, sometimes the rabbis agree to Rabbi Eliezer that if you pull out one hair, you're also going to get whipped. What's the case? But Malaki Levonis Miter Shredis Afilo Achas Shul Chayiv. If you pull out white hair from dark hair, you also get whipped. This is even today. Not Shabbos. No, not even on Shabbos. You're right. If a guy does that on Shabbos, they do three Averis. Three sins. They get whipped 3 times 39. If they're warned, you know, whatever. There's a din as follows. And this din, by the way, applies today. This last din. And that is, it says in the Torah, a man is not allowed to dress in women's garments. It's Silvish Gevet, the famous Pasuk in Chumash. Now,
not me, you.
Which means, no, he's right, because according to the Tzemach Tzedek, shaving is the sin of dressing like a woman. But we'll get that later, in the next page. Next page of Gemara. Yeah, Tzemach Tzedek holds five sins. Anyway, next page of Gemara, we're going to get there. So, the din is, anything that women do, that's stylish for women to do, men are not allowed to do. One of the things women do, is when they have, their hair is black, or brown, or whatever, and they start going white.
They dye it.
Yeah, that's nowadays. What did they do in the olden times? They would pull out the white hairs.
Oh, God.
Well, at the beginning, then they would dye it. But I'm saying, but even, for instance, if a woman would have one white hair, she'd just pull it out. So because it's a woman's thing to do, halacha says, you're not allowed, a man is not allowed to do it. So over there, even one hair is the prohibition of doing a woman's garments. Wearing, you know, doing women's things is forbidden. So therefore as follows. To be chayav for shearing wool on Shabbos, you have to pull out two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer says one hair, even for Shabbos. Over a dead body when you rip out hair in mourning. So one opinion says a bald spot, one opinion says a bean, one opinion says a lentil. By this din, of man not dressing like a woman, you pull out one hair, everybody says you're chayiv. I'll give you an interesting halacha. Exactly with this. There's a big question in today's world, and this, by the way, in practical contemporary halacha, is a man allowed to dye his hair? Men dye their hair. A lot of men dye their hair. But what happens? A person wants to look young. Is a man allowed to dye the hair? So if you take Shulchan Aruch as is, it's forbidden, because that's the woman's thing to do. Then you go into questions, what happens if a man can't find a shidduch because he has white hair and no girl wants to look at him, he's too old, and they want to, or business. There's a lot of, you know, not exceptions, I'm saying, not saying, but discussions, if it's allowed, if it's not allowed. If you take Shulchan Aruch, which was written some 400 years ago, it says a man is not allowed to look into a mirror. Take Shulchan Aruch as it is. It says in Shulchan Aruch, a man is not allowed to look into a mirror. Why? Because in the times of Shulchan Aruch, women looked into mirrors and men didn't. So if a man looked in a mirror, it's a woman's thing to do. I'll give you another example. Today, that all men look in mirrors. So again, halacha doesn't change. But the fact is today, it's not a woman's thing, it's a man's thing. For a man today to wear earrings, meanwhile, it's still a women's thing. It's becoming men. But meanwhile, wearing earrings is a woman's thing. So if a man pierces his ears and wears earrings, he's transgressing a biblical prohibition of dressing like a woman.
What about diamond stud?
It's an earring, sir.
Yeah, they pierce their ears, they have diamonds, right. Their lips, their ears.
They didn't get a nail in the ear. It was next to the ear. They didn't...
Pirates had the earring.
But that was exceptional people. There wasn't the masses of people like doing today. It. But, like today.
Rabbi, but, in those days, who spied on these people that pulled hair out of their head so that she got wet? How did anybody know? There must have been many, 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 so many people who never got caught.
In order... Let me tell you something. It's not a crime to steal. The crime is getting caught. Understand? In other words, in order for a person to get whipped, he need to be warned by two kosher witnesses, immediately prior to the act of doing it. And he had to know exactly what he was doing, and they had to tell him the sin and the punishment.
One minute.
If somebody was about to eat a cheeseburger, and two witnesses came to him right before the eating, and they said to him, Boychik, you're not allowed to eat this cheeseburger, and if you do, you're going to get whipped. And the guy says, he doesn't even have to say anything. He just eats it. They go to Beis Din. That's what the Torah says. You have to go to Beis Din. If you witness something, there's a biblical obligation. And it's a big sin not to say testimony that you know. That's what the Torah says. There's not snitching. You witness the crime, a sin, you have an obligation to go to Beis Din. If the guy wasn't warned, he doesn't get whipped. Even if the guy screams, I know, he screams into public, I know I'm not allowed to eat this pig sandwich and I'm going to eat it anyway. But he wasn't warned. And he eats it, he does not get whipped. Okay? So what happens if you have a case? Somebody lost a relative and there's people standing near him and he's going, you know, meshuggah, and they tell him, hey, they have an obligation to warn him. They say, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to rip out hair. And the guy does it anyway, she's going to get whipped. If a guy on his own pulls out a white hair, he sinned. He did an aveda because the Torah says you're not allowed to. But he's not going to get whipped because in order to get whipped, you need to be warned by two kosher witnesses. And if you're not warned, you can't get whipped, but God takes care, you know, God deals with it. That's his business.
I don't think today you have to worry about people, men, women, whatever, men pulling hair out of their head. I never heard of such a thing.
They say all the Muslims do it.
I'm not with the Muslims. Oh. I don't bother with them. I don't deal with them. Nothing.
Don't, you're smarter. What?
But I never saw a Marine pull hair out of his head.
You know why? Because they're bald.
No.
Yeah.
We had all our hair. I had That's more why they hair
shave.
Than you.
That's why they shave the heads. You shouldn't pull anything out. What?
It says that you're not supposed to dress in women's clothing. So why does it say you can't look into a mirror because that's like women?
That's all. Basically, the Torah says that the concept of the halacha is that a man cannot do things to mingle and become, so to speak, what's called in today's world unisex. One thing. So it doesn't apply only to dressing. The Gemara says, and this was given to Moshe at Sinai, that it doesn't only mean physically dressing. It means anything womanish, whatever the word, a man can do. And by the way, it works reverse also.
So how about, like, why?
I'll give you a very simple example. In the time of the Gemara, men went to war, women didn't. So men wore armor. In the only times they wore armor. It says in Halacha, if a woman put on a thing of armor, she was transgressing a biblical prohibition of wearing a man's garment.
Jeez.
I'll tell you even, and this a lot of people don't even think. They think, and women do a lot of mitzvahs they don't have to do. Women don't have to sit in a sukkah, they do it. Women don't have to bench lulav and esrig, they do it. Okay? What are you doing to me? is bad enough this.
I'm leaving. I'll be back.
Okay. If it's valuable, I'll keep it. Not the tape, the machine. Now, yet, okay, women are not allowed to wear tefillin. Why don't we find women wearing tzitzis? They do lulav, they do sukkah, they listen to shofar. Why don't we find in religious circles, okay, tefillin, I understand, tefillin need a holy body.
But
and
religious circles, because in other circles they do.
I understand. But that has nothing to do with Judaism. But no, it's an interesting thing. If you think about it, tefillin, we understand, tefillin are very holy. That's why kids under bar mitzvah don't wear tefillin either, even though they educationally do all the other mitzvahs. Kids wear tzitzis. Why don't women wear tzitzis? Okay? So there's two reasons. One reason is, halacha says, because the truth is, men are also not obligated in tzitzis. What does it mean? The Torah says, if you have a four-cornered garment, you need to put tzitzis on the corners. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah, you must wear a four-cornered garment. The rabbis say, it's such a beautiful mitzvah, it reminds us of all the other mitzvahs, you should. But there's no biblical or rabbinic mitzvah in the Torah that you must wear. The Torah says, tefillin, you have to put on tefillin every day. Okay. The Torah says you have to daven every day. The Torah says you have to eat matzah. The Torah says you have to eat in the sukkah. You know, the night of sukkahs. I'll give you an example. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to slaughter animals. Shechita. It's not a mitzvah, I have to go shecht. The Torah says, if you want to eat meat, you have to slaughter the animal before. But if I don't want to eat meat, I don't have a mitzvah, I have to slaughter an animal. The Torah says, you have to put a mezuzah on your door. If I decide to be homeless and sleep in the street, I don't have a mitzvah, I must have a mezuzah. There's certain mitzvahs the Torah says, you must do. And then there are certain mitzvahs the Torah says, if certain conditions arise, then you have to do the mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is a mitzvah of divorcing your wife. There's no mitzvah to tell you have to divorce your wife. The mitzvah is, if you're separating, you're breaking, you need to do it with a get. Tzitzis is not a mitzvah that the Torah says, you must wear tzitzis. So even men really are not obligated in it. So for a woman to do a mitzvah that even a man doesn't have to do, looks a little show-off. It's showing off. That's one answer. But there's another more interesting answer why women don't wear tzitzis. Some opinions say a woman is not allowed to wear tzitzis. Now, Rebbe doesn't agree with it. But there are opinions in Halacha that say women are not allowed to wear tzitzis. Why? It's a man's garment. Bottom line is tzitzis is a man's garment, not a woman's. So if a woman is going to wear tzitzis, she's wearing a man's garment. So what do you have to do a mitzvah at the expense of sinning? So they don't do it.
Why would also another agree with that? It makes sense.
Some women
would,
right?
Probably the Alter Rebbe would hold, I don't know, but it could be that if they're doing it only for the mitzvah, maybe it's not, they're not wearing it as a man's garment, they're wearing it for the sake of a mitzvah. It could be, I don't know.
So why do many have to wear it then? It's okay.
What?
Why do many even have to wear it?
Because the rabbis say, it reminds us of all the mitzvahs. And the whole, every second that you're wearing it, you get a mitzvah. So, do it. But it's not, again, it's not a mitzvah that you're obligated by the Torah that you must do. Tefillin, you can't say, when I get four boxes, I'll put it, you know what I mean? Tefillin, you have to put it on. Okay, like we said, mezuzah is not a mitzvah. If you have a doorway, you need a mezuzah. But if I don't have a doorway, there's no mitzvah, I have to buy a door, I mean, you know, a house and put up a mezuzah. So it's a different story.
The mother bird,
yeah. These are all mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs you have to do, some mitzvahs you don't have to do.
So, like, let's say taking care of children and washing dishes, that's typically a female role. So are men allowed to do that?
No, you can't say that. A lot of men professionally are dishwashers in restaurants. That's their living.
That's true.
That's their living.
Chutzpah.
What's the matter?
The men wash dishes. I never heard of such
a shock.
You don't go out. You wouldn't know. You don't go out. You only eat at home. What?
Torah doesn't like sissies.
Okay. And the Gemara continues back to the pulling out the white hair. The Gemara says this is forbidden even during the week to whip, to take out one white hair from the black hairs.
So you'll be careful.
Yeah, I know. Mishum Shanama, because it says, Layulbash Gavis Simlas Isha. A man is not allowed to wear a woman's garment. Okay. Then that's the end of this Gemara. Next
piece. Logically speaking, if we use this logic, men shouldn't be able to take care of the kids, stay home, take care of the kids, while the wife goes out and work, or watch.
Who says it's not a necessary, it's not a woman's thing to do?
Women usually have done it.
No, the job has to get done. Whoever does it. In the olden times, men went out to work, women basically stayed home. I'm talking about in the olden times. So therefore, part of the job of the woman in sharing the equal responsibilities to wash dishes, but that doesn't mean it had to be dafka, it was only the woman's job. It was just a practical way of dividing responsibilities. But if anything, the obligation of raising the kids in a Torah atmosphere was called chinuch, is on the father, not on the mother. The mitzvah of teaching kids Torah, your children Torah, is an obligation on the man, not on the mother. Practically speaking, she's home more than the man is, at least she's not working. So then, practically speaking, she does it. But the responsibility is on the man. Which was one of the reasons, because a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. It's his obligation. Therefore, if you send your kids to school, boys, girls is questionable. But if you send boys to school and you pay tuition, that cannot be counted as tzedakah money. Why? It's your obligation. You don't want to do it, you want to pay somebody else to do it. That's not charity. You're just paying off your responsibility. You can't count that as tzedakah. I mean, there are ways, leave it to the Jews, you can get around it. But just something which is your responsibility, you can't consider that charity, tzedakah. You can make up with the school. You can do things that
the government won't let you deduct.
Who government? What government? There's a government. The Democrats, Republicans.
Neither the state nor the federal government will.
The
allow
only governments
you
that work are dictatorships.
Take off your payments for somebody's tuition.
The only governments that work are dictatorships. That is a mark of passivation.
Am I glad I didn't go to a Chabad yeshiva?
Those are the only ones that work, trust me. A mark of passivation. Okay, next piece of Gemara, middle of the page. A mark of passivation. The Mishnah said a din. Literally, it means if you round the hair of your head. And this is talking about the beard and the payas. Okay? We know the Torah says, Leisakifu pa'as reishchem, that you're not allowed to round the hair of your face.
One minute.
1 minute. He says over here, the head is divided in this whole round ball, this head, is divided into two sections. There is the head hair, okay, which goes from here up, from the payas, from the temples, up. That's called the head hair that kids have, right? Or women have, whatever. And then you have, from the temples down, it's called the beard, the facial hair. Now, therefore, when the Torah says, don't round off the corners of your face. Now, normally, if a face is round, oval, what do you got corners? There's no corners in a round circle or an oval. But the fact that the Torah says, the Torah knows the head is oval. The Torah knows the head is round. The fact that the Torah says, don't round the corners of your head, means obviously our corners of the head. And the Gemara is soon going to discuss we know there's five corners. Okay? But the fact that this part of the temple is where the separation, demarcation between the facial hair and the head hair, that's considered corners. Therefore, if you round it off, you don't leave payas. I'm not talking about long, curly ones. That's customary. But according to the Torah, you must have hair on the side, on the corner of your head, which is where the payas are. Now, halachically, you know there's a bone here by the temple, okay? According to halacha, the payas, as they call the corner, has to go at least until the bone. Okay? Because that's called the corner area. Because that bone is what separates top and bottom. So now the Gemara says, you're not, Tana Rabban Rabbanonut, Pa'as Reishay, what does it mean when the Torah says the corner of your head? It means Sof Reishay, the end of your head. Now, in a circle, there's no beginning and end. Like we know, politicians sit by round tables. Why? Because otherwise there's a whole fight. Who's at the head of the table? Who's at the end of the table? Gets a whole political. You make a round table, everybody's at the head. Right? So it says, Ezev Seferoshi, what is considered the end of the head? It says, Amash v'tzadov l'achuri ozno l'padachti. One who evens out his temples with the hairline behind the ear and the hairline of his forehead. Meaning, if you cut this area, which rounds out to the back, because this is the back, right? And if this is cut, with a razor, by the way, with a razor is the biblical prohibition, so then you're basically evening it out with the back. So that's biblically forbidden.
You mean completely shaved
up. Right.
Not just shortened.
Right. Now, it says, Tana Tan Kamid Rav Chista. So the Tana learned in the presence of Rav Chista, Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikif Leike. Both the barber who cuts the hair and the guy whose hair gets cut, both get whipped. 1 minute. Amalei. So the Gemara is not done. Amalei, so Rav Chista said to the teacher, who said this halacha, he said to him, Manda ochel tamri bar bila loke, a guy who eats dates out of a strainer gets whipped. It's an expression. In other words, he's saying, what did the guy do? He didn't do anything. The barber cut the hair. But you, what did you do? You didn't do anything wrong. You need to do an action to sin. He didn't do anything. So why should you get whipped?
He didn't
stop him. But I didn't do anything. The Gemara's not done. So he says to him, Da'amel Ochmani, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yehuda, Da'amel Lav Shein B'maisa, like in Olav, that Olav, a negative prohibition, that has no action, you get whipped. But the bottom line is, that's not the law. Meaning as follows. We learned many times in the Gemara before, that in order to get whipped, you need to do an action, an active sin. A passive sin, you don't get whipped. That means if you transgressed a negative commandment by not doing anything, you're not going to get whipped. To give an example, the Torah says if you bring a sacrifice, and you're allowed to eat it, let's say, for that day and the night, the Torah says, don't leave it over until the morning. Don't leave it until the morning. And if you do, burn it. Okay? So we learned before in the Gemara, but to give one, just as an example, if a guy left over the meat until the morning, he didn't do anything. He just didn't eat it. But he actively did not sin. Okay, I'll give you another example that we just celebrated Pesach. The Torah says, you're not allowed to have chametz in your house in Pesach. Right? Now what happens if a guy owned chametz from before Pesach? He didn't do anything. He just left it in the house. The Gemara says he's not going to get whipped. Why? He didn't do anything. He just didn't burn it. But he didn't actively do something to get the chametz. For instance, if he went to the store on Pesach and bought chametz, he's going to get whipped. Because he actively owned chametz. But if you passively own chametz, you don't get whipped because you didn't do anything. Okay? So the Gemara asks a very simple question. If I'm sitting in a barber chair, in a barber shop, and the guy is razoring my head, okay, he's with a razor, he's cutting my head, and I'm sitting there like a golem, I'm not doing anything, you telling me I'm going to get whipped? The only opinion that says for a passive sin you get whipped is Rabbi Yehuda. But the majority of opinions disagree with him. Which means the halacha is that for a passive sin, you don't get whipped. So the Gemara's question is, if you're just sitting in the barber's chair, not doing anything, why should you get whipped? And you're telling me you got whipped. That's what he's asking him. So the Gemara says, no. So people answer it. Rava Amar Rava says, you know what the case is? He says, B'makav la'atma divir akil. A guy balls his own head. A guy takes a razor and his own head does it. He's going to get whipped twice. Once for doing it and once for getting it done. But over there he did an action. Or, the Vashi Yom HaRavashi answers a different answer. B'misayeya, when you help the barber. Now, Zuma is going to say as follows. You're right. If you just sit in the chair and don't move, don't do a thing, you're not going to get whipped. But if you start moving your head for the barber to cut it, you know, he tells you, put your head down, you know, all of us take haircuts, so then you're actively helping him. So then it's not passive anymore, it's active. And then you would get whipped. And that's the halacha, by the way. If you're in a barber shop and you let the guy razor, let's say your beard or your, you know, where you're not allowed to, you are going to get whipped just like the barber because you, if you move your head, you know, if you help him do it, you're going to get whipped.
Who's going to discover that? Who? Hashem?
The guy upstairs.
So who is God going to tell? You? Moshe? Who?
Me.
Come on, Rabbi. Those things might have happened 18,000 years ago, but today...
18,000 years ago, there was no world to happen to.
Okay.
If you're a Jewish barber and your client says, shave off...
Do you know that's a big problem you have in the city, in cities, you know, Jewish barbers that are not from, right? I mean, go look at the barber shops and... So, if you have a Jew, and a guy comes in, he's not from, and he wants a razor shave and, you know, all that, he's sinning.
Can you do it to a guy? Jewish barber?
To a guy, yeah, he's not obligated. A woman could also do it. A woman, the Gemara learned, is not obligated in this mitzvah.
But
she can't do it to a man, because when the man moves his head, he gets the sin. So she's helping him get the sin. Do you know what I mean?
But also, like, a lot of barbers who aren't groomed, they don't know the law, so it's okay.
Not that it's okay. Let me ask you a question. If this is poison, but I think it's crystal clear water, but it's really poison, and I drink it because I didn't know I'm not going to get hurt, it's poison. Just because I don't know, or just because you tell me it's healthy, is not going to keep me alive. Now, obviously, if you know something's wrong and you do it, it's much worse than if you don't know. But it's still a sin. I mean, it's still a blemish. It's still something wrong.
Sometimes you do things by accident also. Then that's also not...
In the time of the temple, you did something accidentally. You have to bring a sacrifice for forgiveness. Yeah. Somebody killed somebody accidentally. They had to run to the city of refuge for many years.
But let's say you say a blessing over water, but you forget that you said it and you say it again. You know?
So you still said a blessing in vain, but you're not so obligated because you didn't do it intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still. If you help somebody do a sin, you're equally liable in the sin.
So a woman who tells a barber or helps...
A woman, by the way, could have her hair shaved with a razor, if she wants, let's say. By the way, it's not... a man can technically, I mean, in today's Melrose, you know, everything possible, a man can technically can shave his head with a razor all over the place, not here, not here, and not here. These are corners, and this is a corner. We're going to soon see in the Gemara. The Gemara is the different opinions. What some people say, this is a corner also, the end of the mustache.
So that's why you can shave with the electric razor.
We're going to get into that.
So what happens if a guy
does? Well, I mean, if it's with a razor which destroys the hair, everybody says no.
What do you mean destroys?
If you take a razor, and your face over here. You know, like in barbershops, they cut the back and this with a razor. Everybody said that's biblically forbidden. For sure. Electric shaver, there's a lot of issues involved. It depends, even those that permit shaving with an electric shaver, it depends how close a cut it is to the skin. Certain shavers are very, very close cut that it's exactly like a razor. And then you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Depending what type of, then some people hold that, even that you can't do. You know, there's different opinions of what you're allowed to do and you're not. This, by the way, this is the source of all the beard laws, basically, is this Gemara that we're learning, coming up. I mean.
So if a person can grow a goatee just like this, and leave like sideburns, then they can shave here?
We'll learn in the Gemara later that because there's so many different opinions, here. The exact location of five corners is not clear from the Gemara. Some people say the two lower jaws, the two bones of the upper jaws, and the chin. Some people say the two ends of the upper jawbone on each side and the chin. Some people say the two sides of the upper jaw, two ends of the mustache, and beneath the chin. Okay? So there's a lot of different opinions. See, you might be cutting a corner, which is according to one opinion, forbidden another opinion. You know what I mean? So, what? You don't have that problem yet. What do you want?
Why did you get it done by a non-Jewish barber?
But we learned over here that if you help him, you're equally chayiv.
So even if
you go to a guy, if you go to a guyish barber to do it, the fact that you sat down in the chair and moving the head, you're going to get malchus, even though the guy doesn't, you know.
There's no phone barbers in the city?
Huh?
There's no phone barbers in the city, right?
Who said?
Is there?
Yeah, I'll give you a haircut. What do you want?
No goyish barbers in the city?
Yiddish, he said. From.
I agree with that.
What?
If he shaves a Jew?
No. The guy's not obligated.
Yeah, but a lot of things, he's not seven off.
It's not the seven night laws.
So a from barber would say, this is the one only way, and the only way I'm going to do it, or go somewhere else.
Listen, from barbers, basically, you go to Borough Park, you have from barbers, the people there are not interested in shaving with a razor, or Crown Heights, or Williamsburg, or Bnei Brak, or Yerushalayim, or Muncie, you know what I mean? These people, they're not going to do it. And if a guy comes in with a razor cut, they're not going to, if they're Jew, they're not going to do it. Right. Yeah, but you still have to move your head
down.
You have to sit in the chair.
But if you don't move your head and you tell them I want short,
it would still be forbidden according to the Gemara because you're still, the fact that you went there and you sat down in the chair, so that itself is making it accessible.
I have another question.
Yeah.
What about during World War II when for 4 years, the Marine Corps barbers gave me a haircut and I had a crew cut. So I sinned.
Chassidish haircut.
I sinned.
4 years,
I'm 10,000 miles from a shul, I sinned.
Well, you can't be 10,000 miles away from a shul and sin.
I was.
Okay, so.
But I didn't sin. That's the way it was. The Marines had to have crew cuts.
Yeah, if you're forced to, then you have to.
There were issues in the 50s and the 60s with from guys that were drafted that had beards.
Huh. So
what
they had Shared beards.
Them off.
No, they had beards.
They let them keep them?
Religious freedom.
I never heard that.
Yeah. They made them tuck it in. There was stories that if they had to wear certain gas masks and things like that, providing was able to get completely safe under the gas mask, they let you have it. But there were a lot of issues how many from people were drafted? You know what I mean. Most of them yeshiva bachim, but there were issues, sure.
So can you shorten the beard?
That we'll learn about that later too. Anyway, so the whole. Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for you to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Tana Rabban Rabbanan Lent. Pasuk Konei. What does this start this Gemara? Pasuk Konei. What does it mean? The corner of the beard. Saves Konei means the end of the beard. Vezer saves Konei. What does the end of the beard mean? Shibela Sukonei. The part of the beard similar to an ear of grain. So basically it means that, as it says, any of the five places at the end of the beard, even like we said, the brace itself does not clearly say what the five corners of the beard are. But the codifiers discuss at great length what is the definition of the end of the beard to be considered. Yes, cutting, not cutting, is it considered shaving, is it not considered shaving? But again, biblically, this is only when it's done with a razor. Okay, or an electric shaver that would be so close cutting, and you have contemporary people discussing really which shavers you're allowed to use, even those that permit shaving. Which shavers you could use, which shavers you can't use, but there's certain shavers that, according to all opinions, they're not allowed to use. Even though they're electric shavers, but they have the same cut, like a razor. So then it would be forbidden.